man who is looking forward to a trip to Winnipeg like nobody's business, because it's been a while since he's been on the road. With Sens training camp set to begin tomorrow, first exhibition game Sunday in Winnipeg, we say good morning and hello to Gord Wilson. How are you doing this morning, Goody?
Well, good morning, fellas. All the better now. Yes, we are inches away, aren't we? It's close. I can smell it. Oh, actually, no, I'm by the Jock River, and one of the dogs just went in the water, so that's what I'm smelling. Never mind.
Yeah, do you get heck from people in your household like I do in mine whenever the dog gets into water that it's not supposed to, be it ponds or rivers?
I don't, only because it's happened with other members of the family as well, but the sad part is, one of them got sprayed by a skunk last week, so anytime he goes into the water for the next probably year, I'm told, there's going to be a rather pungent smell coming from Jackson. So anyway, it's all good.
All good. Yeah. Hey, Gord, I think, memory serves correct, was the last time you were on the Sens charter was when you guys came back from California March 12th, 2020? Is
correct,
that right?
Sir. Wow. Yes, and I think I was on the phone in the box with Steve as Pierre Dorion was walking up the aisle and saying, we're headed home. Because there was an option. There was obviously a little bit of confusion as to what the NHL was doing. I shouldn't say confusion. There was just uncertainty as to what the NHL was doing because the team was on a road trip bound for Chicago, and they had to change plans, obviously.
Yeah, and things, that probably seems like forever ago. Of course, you didn't travel with the team last year. Nobody did. And so you did all the broadcasts from either here in studio or at Canadian Tire Center for the home game. So I can imagine you are very much, even though the first game is in Winnipeg, very much looking forward to that first road trip.
Absolutely. And, pardon my ignorance, I'm not 100% certain what the guidelines are in Manitoba for fans in the stands, but the MTS Center is just a fantastic place to call a game from because of the atmosphere, which is something the players have all talked about. You heard Sokolov after yesterday's game, the rookie game in Brassard, talking about the 1,000 fans that he was able to look at and count and say hello to individually in Saturday afternoon's game against the Montreal Rookies. They're all very excited, and it does create certainly a different atmosphere for the players, yeah, without question.
And Goody, just a Saturday, how good did it feel to hop in the barn? I know it wasn't a lot of people, but just to see the staff and feel a little bit normal again.
Yeah, absolutely. And, as insignificant as it may seem to you, having you up in the broadcast booth was good, too. I mean, it's just, it's a return to normalcy, or a slow return to normalcy, and everything does feel a little bit better. And we get a chance, we watched a week's worth of development camp and rookie camp from 15 rows off the ice. We're back in the stands being able to watch practice. It was, I sound like I'm whining here a little bit, but it was tough to watch practice with players having no numbers, names on the backs of their practice jerseys from 400 feet away or 300 feet away in the broadcast booth. Dean was, he's an expert now with binoculars. He may be looking at me right now through binoculars somewhere in this forest that I'm in.
So, wow.
He was identifying players through binoculars.
Trying to put your clothes back on.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, the rubber boots thing is just not only attractive to me.
Okay, all right. Let's change the topic quickly. All right, well, main camp begins tomorrow, Gord. In all likelihood, it does not seem, everything can change, that Brady Tkachuk is going to be there at least to start training camp. So let's fast forward to Thursday when they start practicing. You got practice lines, etc. Who would you say is maybe the first candidate to replace Brady Tkachuk at that left wing position?
Boy, that's a very good question, and one that I haven't even given thought to, but it's a great question. And obviously, I'm going to go home and pour over my depth chart now, but it's interesting because...
would they move Stutzla? I guess the question is, would they move Stutzla up to and throw the kind of the all the eggs in one basket line?
Yeah, that's the immediate, almost knee-jerk reaction. Yeah, that makes sense. But also at the same time, what made sense was the last four or five games of the regular season last year when Stutzla played with Josh Norris, or pardon me, with Shane Pinto, and Connor Brown. And that line was the pseudo number one line for a couple of those games, or certainly it was a 1A line. You know, Josh Norris between Brady Tkachuk and Drake Batherson served its purpose very well. And it was a top line to contend with, as a, you know, as the opposition would find out. This team went 9-2-1 in its final dozen games with really the top six players consistently playing together, line number one and line number 1A, I guess. So it's natural to think that Stützle would get an opportunity to jump up, but again, it remains to be seen, only because he played so well with Shane Pinto and Connor Brown. My guess is, you know, they may give Nick Paul an opportunity to play up there. Sort of a similar bang and crash player as Brady, and yeah, go from there. You know what? Hey, hang on here, fellas. Just excuse me for a second. Hey, boys, come on back here. Sorry. They're getting,
love it.
They're getting too far.
The only radio station going on in the world right now where the guest is commanding his dogs to return. Anyway, carry on.
Incredible power. Yeah. Goody, is it not as simple as just putting Ennis in that spot? Because when we see practices run a lot of times, you don't switch anything out. You just kind of put a placeholder in short term.
Yeah, absolutely. And another good point here. And again, no depth chart in front of me, so I'm not thinking straight, but exactly. And Tyler Ennis brought in to provide competition, and the coach knows what he's going to get from Tyler, and it would make a lot of sense. That would make perfect sense to place hold and wait for Brady to get signed and allow Tyler to play with good players and go from there. You know, the plan, I think, is to have Logan Brown play as a centerman, but, you know, if there's lots of centermen who are playing better than he is and they want to give him every opportunity to show his wares and see if he's healthy and improved and ready to go, give him the chance to play with perhaps better players, and maybe that's an opportunity for him as well.
All right, I'm asking this question, Gord, without you having your depth chart in front of you.
Yeah.
But how many, Brady Tkachuk aside, let's assume he's going to be in the lineup for opening night. How many open jobs are there right now, do you believe, with the Ottawa Senators?
Oh, boy. That's, I'm not sure if there are any, to be very honest with you. I think with Dadonoff gone and Tyler Ennis sliding in, there's probably a better than average chance that Tyler Ennis is going to get penciled in as a player. Now, this is to say, and we're before training camp talking about this, there's still lots of time to make a move. And I think the organization is still sold on the fact that it needs depth at center, and or at least certainly before Logan Brown signed, they were really, really focusing in on getting better depth at the center position. But at the same time, they've got to replace Dadonoff. They've signed Tyler Ennis. Are they still looking for a winger? You know, going last week, before all these moves were made, these two moves were made, the thought was, we're still in the market for a centerman and a winger. This team needs some scoring. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it would like to have more scoring, and we'll see what transpires here over the next couple of weeks, because there is still lots of time to make moves.
Yeah, and to your point, if you go Formanton, slide Paul to the middle, to White, Ennis all of a sudden with Tierney and Watson, there it is. One of the, I thought, smarter moves they've made in recent years, Goody, was the picking up of Namestnikov, which I think came early in the season. I thought very valuable. Do you look at that type as something that they may look at? Because as I said, I thought, again, for a third-round pick, I believe, was a real, real good player.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility there, and again, it could be just a depth move. You know, there's still a little bit of uncertainty on, and I don't think there's a lot of uncertainty, but how is Tim Stützle going to perform over an 82-game season here? And obviously, you can't tell that through the first 20 games, but the first 20 games of this season are going to be invaluable to this hockey club. They cannot get off to the start this year like they had last year. I think there's no question about that. You guys all know the old adage that I've been saying for a long time here now. You can't win a Stanley Cup in October and November, but you can lose the chance to play for it. And they certainly lost the chance to play for it in January and February at the start of last season, going 2-12-1 through their first 15 games. It cannot happen. So if you've got some depth players, Obviously, with experience, there is that possibility, and Tyler Ennis brings that. If there is a slowdown or a slow start or a fault to a little bit of his game, Tim Stützle may have the opportunity to be replaced from time to time on a line. They're obviously going to give him every opportunity to find his game if, in fact, it is lost. But again, there's, you know, there's no certainty that he's going to get off to a slow start in his sophomore season. You know, it happens, but at the same time, this guy's a pretty world-class talent here, so they're hoping for the best, no doubt.
Gord Wilson is our guest. So the beginning of the season success will in large part be dictated on the play of the goalie. It always is. Matt Murray had a very poor start to last year. Got better, a little bit better as the season went on, but they need better all-round play from him. Best guess as to what you think we're going to see from Matt Murray.
Well, you know what? Last January, we talked about him coming in and a fresh start and getting out of Pittsburgh, the limelight, being the number one guy in Pittsburgh and the pressures of playing with a really good hockey club and his game dropping off over the last year and a half or so. And he had a baby. His family, his wife had a baby. They grow by one. There's all kinds of distractions off the ice. And he's not had a training camp. And it's a new club, blah, blah, blah. We made all kinds of excuses, and they weren't really excuses. They were facts laid out as to why perhaps there was a little bit of a focus lost from Matt Murray. Well, he's got a training camp now, a full training camp. He's familiar with the system. His game that he decided to change last year from the end of the season before to January of the beginning of last season, he was changing his position. He was changing his game, rather, in the position that he's in. And technically, he was different. He's had lots of time, you know, to hone it, develop it, work with a new goaltending coach. At the same time, though, we throw in the fact again, and we just found this out the other day, that his family is growing again by one. And I don't know, will that be a distraction to him? There's the possibility that it could be. So we just wait and see. But from a technical standpoint, and Simmer, you can certainly add to this better than I, but from a technical standpoint, you would think that he's going to be better prepared to play the position of goal the way he wants to, because it doesn't happen overnight to transition from one style of play to a different style of play, and it was pretty clear that he was changing the style of play, his style of play.
Yeah, you were the first to point out with the glove hand, which to me was mysterious in that not only was it changed, the absolute struggles that he had, you know, and this isn't a technical thing. I was kind of mystified as to why he really struggled to catch the puck. When you look at this at the same time, I just get the feeling I don't have confident energy from the fellow. We'll see what training camp brings. As Jimmy Rutherford pointed out, Goody, do you just feel like most of this is completely mental?
Well, that's just it. And again, all those mitigating factors come into play here. You know, you're in a new city. You have a new baby, for heaven's sakes, and you're changing your style. And all of a sudden, this team sucks in front of you as far as defensive style play is concerned. So, yeah, it can weigh on you mentally as much as anything.
Did you notice any uptick in his performance that you could directly attribute to the new goaltending coach, Zach Burke?
You know what? He played with more confidence, and I think he became a freer goaltender. There wasn't as much. Look, the rotten thing happened, okay? As a goalie, the last thing you want to have happen is play poorly enough that it leads to your goalie coach getting fired. And that's what happened. And I can't help but think mentally that had a real strain on Matt. So I think when it happened, and, you know, he just kind of let himself free up a little bit from those pressures, he started to play a little bit better. And let's be honest here, it's not all on the goaltender. It goes hand in hand with how the team is playing in front of him. And I think we'll all agree that over the final dozen games or so, I'm missing a dog here, by the way.
Do you want to yell for him on live radio?
Well, no, I've done that in the past, and it's not gone over.
Put your phone out and let JR do the rooster call, because I feel like that'll bring them in.
He's coming now. Come on. Oh, he went for a swim, too. He's really going to stink. It's working. One more time, please. Come on, Jackson. Listen to this. Oh, the other dogs come too. There you go. Well done, John.
You're welcome.
Call.
That's what I'm here for, Gord.
Anyway, you know what? I think he was, for lack of a better term, mentally free from the strains and stresses of not performing well, and the goaltending change happened, and then all of a sudden the team perhaps did start to play a little bit better in front of him. And that goes hand in hand with numbers. And I think, what did he win, four of his last five or six games down the stretch? So he should have some confidence going into this season. The fact that there is a full training camp, the fact that, well, you know, four of the six or seven defensemen are same guys that he's worked with, should be a huge help.
All right. You've got your dogs in tow. I've done my rooster thing. I think our work is done here, quite frankly.
I don't think the morning show has sounded better, fellas, between 8 and 8:30.
All good. Yeah. All right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing you and Dean. It was great to hear you on the rookie game. And you guys are going to be calling the scrimmage. They're going to actually have a scrimmage on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And then it's getting on the bird for Winnipeg right after that for the first exhibition game on Sunday. Looking forward to it. At the rhythm of an Ottawa fall and winter is straight ahead of us, so folks. And that means Dean and Gord in the broadcast booth. Appreciate the time as always, Goody. Good luck with those dogs, my friend.
Okay, guys. Yes, the truck is in sight here. We're heading back. I have no treats in my hand, though, so it could be a long walk across the park. But thanks for having me this morning. We'll talk to you down the road.